We're in our series, The Pathway to Change. We're talking about the pathway to the blessing of God in our life and just how we become more and more what God wants us to be, becoming the men and women that we'd really like to be, doing better in life and in our walk with our Creator. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the principle of first. It's very important in our lives, and so I just want to dive into this. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 13 in the Old Testament. If you've already turned there, I want to read verse 1 and 2, and then verse 12 and verse 13. All right, Exodus chapter 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Sanctify to me," in other words, set apart to me, "every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both man and beast. It belongs to me." Verse 12, "You shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord. But every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." So let's talk about the principle of the first. If you got your life point outline, I want you to look at number one is this: the preeminence of God. If you have a clear grasp of biblical theology, it's going to mean that in your realm of reference, you'll understand the doctrine of the preeminence of God. In other words, that God is first. One of the passages, one of the books that really talks about the preeminence of God is the book of Isaiah. You can go back a little bit later on and read chapter 44 and chapter 45, and it is just again and again and again holding up the preeminence of God, that God is first. Let me just read Isaiah 45, verse 22 and 23. Now just listen to what the word says. God is speaking. He says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth." What has God sworn? "That to me," God said, "I swear to you with uplifted hand, to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance." Every tongue at some point in time is going to say, God is God and there is no other. And he is Lord over everything. And he deserves all the praise. That's going to happen. God has set it in motion. And then there's Psalm 46 and verse 10, which says this. God says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." So here's what God is saying. If I understand the biblical doctrine of the preeminence of God, it just simply means that I understand that my Father, the God who made me in my mother's womb, he is preeminent above everything. He is first in the universe. God is worthy of me blessing his name, just like Joel Don and the team led us this morning. God is worthy of that. He said, as creator, I am worthy of receiving your praise, that you would say there is none like God. There is none in all the universe like him. Everything that I can see was created, and it was made by him. God is the first in everything. Everything comes from him. So he is worthy of me praising him. He is worthy of me obeying him. Why? Because I live because of him. I exist because of him. I breathe because of him. And he is worthy to receive from me anything and everything that he asks of me. That's what it means about the preeminence of God. Number two in your outline that I want to give you this morning is this: God has put a claim on first things. And that's just a principle that is in Scripture that is good for us in having a total understanding of who our God is. Let's go back to our text. If you've got your Bibles open there at Exodus 13, let's just read that again. I just want you to hear it and get it in your heart. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both man and beast. It belongs to me. You shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord, but every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, you shall break its neck. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." All right, what has God said? God says, I want you to understand priority. I want you to understand first things in your relationship with me. Every firstborn male of your clean animals. What was a clean animal? A clean animal was what it was right for them to eat in the eyes of God. A clean animal was what was an animal that God would accept as an offering. Sheep, goats, cattle. Those were all clean animals. Those were the animals that brought them wealth. If they had large herds, they were wealthy people. All right? And so he said, the firstborn of the cattle, sheep, goats are mine. The firstborn males. The first one coming from your first female that is able to breed and to bear. The first one from whom you get wealth. The first one born is mine. It comes to me. How? You kill it. You sacrifice it. You lose it, and you give it to me. Every firstborn man-child born to you, the promise of your future as a family, I want you to know he is mine, but you are not to kill him. You redeem him by a sacrifice of a lamb. One of the things I want you to understand, when you understand how we live as followers of the Lord, God has put a fence around human beings. Never in all of Scripture, in all the sacrificing, never did God ever ordain or decree or approve that a child be sacrificed. Ever. God said, it has never even entered my mind that I would ask you to do such a thing. Ever. Does that make sense? Just so you understand who our God is. A child was never sacrificed. Every firstborn unclean animal, every animal that could not be offered as a sacrifice to God, a horse, a mule, a donkey, a camel, animals you cannot eat, animals that are considered unclean. God said one of two things. Either you redeem it, if it's the firstborn from your first female, horse, mule, camel, donkey, the first one your female can produce, the first one she gives birth to is mine. Your first one that you hope for a future, that you have hope as a source of income for you, a source of service, that first one is mine. You don't know what she'll give from now on. Maybe the last one she bears, but you give her first one to whom? To God. He said, it is mine. Or if you don't sacrifice it, then you sacrifice a lamb in its place. However, if you don't sacrifice a lamb in its place, you break its neck. It's mine. You lose it. It belongs to me. All right, two truths that God has given us that I want you to understand. Truth number one, the firstborn clean animal, an Israelite family's hope of future income was the Lord's. I just want you to see that. So every firstborn clean male animal, an animal that could be eaten, was given to the Lord as a sacrifice. Your hope of a future of income was given to the Lord. Truth number two, the firstborn unclean animal, an Israeli family's hope of future income and as a service animal, was redeemed by a clean animal, another lost lamb, or that animal was destroyed. The firstborn donkey or mule or camel, its neck was broken. Why? God says, it's mine. It's mine. Now, this is an Old Testament instruction. I get that. But I want you to understand, God has already taught us in Scripture. You go over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Paul had been talking about a lot of Old Testament insights. And he comes back and he says this. He says, now these things, what I've been talking to you about from the Old Testament, happened to our fathers in the wilderness with Moses. But then he said this, as an example, and they were written for our instruction. So here's what God is saying. He's saying, listen, I know you're no longer under Old Testament law. But he said, at the same time, I want you to understand, what I give you in the Old Testament is a teaching of spiritual truth that I want you to understand in the New. And so we look at the Old Testament as pictures of New Testament truth. So what's the instruction? Look in your outline. Principle number one. The first of our wealth belongs to God, and Christ was sacrificed that we might live. That's what was being taught in all these teachings about the animal, about the clean and the unclean. So the clean and the unclean represent something. The unclean animals represent who? You and me. You and me are represented by the unclean. The clean animal, of course, represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have a problem thinking, well, I don't know that I would see myself as unclean, David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, listen, when my mom and dad married before the Lord, when they had a physical relationship together, and I was the product of that, mom and dad were not sinning. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I was shapen in iniquity. It doesn't mean that the lovemaking between my married parents was sinful. He said that when I was conceived, I was shapen with iniquity in me. My daddy not only gave to me the family name, he not only gave me inclinations like the greens have, he also gave me what every green has, sin. I got the sin nature from my dad. That's what he passed down to me. Now, that may be hard, maybe for some of you to say, but it's called the doctrine of original sin. And what it simply means is, I am not a sinner because John Green sins. John Green sins because he is a sinner. I do what I do because of what I am. I'm not what I am because of what I do. Does that make sense? And so don't get it messed up. And so maybe somebody, you know, and the way that you know that that is true is this. If you've got children at home, one of the things you understand is you don't have to teach them to do wrong. You don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to be selfish. You don't have to teach them to be bad. They got that all figured out. What you work at for the 18 years that they're at home, or God bless you if it's 22 or 24 years at home, what you work at is keeping a fence around them and keep them from eating stupid pills and doing something that's going to get them in trouble. Because it's just like they naturally gravitate to that. And so you don't have to teach kids how to do wrong. We're born that way. It's in us. And that's what God is saying in the Word. And he says the clean, Jesus, has to ultimately die for the donkey. That's you and me. The unclean. And that's what he's teaching here in the Word. Jesus, even himself, in his 30s, said to a group of men, he said, which of you convinces me of sin? Who among you is able to look at my last 30 years of my life and pick out anything that's wrong? Let me tell you something. I would never say that. Ever. I would never say, hey, I dare you, look at my life and see if you can find anything that I've ever done wrong. Are you crazy? I would never ask you to do that. I don't want anybody combing over my life. It's not like you're going to have to dig real deep to find something that's amiss or something that's not right. I said something I shouldn't have said, did something I shouldn't have done. But Jesus said after 30 years, he said, examine me. He said, because you won't find anything. Why? Because Christ was perfect. He was the clean that died for me. So the clean had to be sacrificed so the unclean could live. And the Lord said, you lose this. You lose this firstborn. It's mine. And if you can't, when you can't sacrifice the unclean, then you sacrifice the clean in place of the unclean. Now, what is the Lord talking to us about? So that brings me to point number three. Let me talk to you about the elephant in the room. I want to talk to you for just a minute. I want to segue into this. And I want to talk about finances. Now, please, don't be looking for the door. Just stay with me for just a minute. Here's the insight I want to give you. Look at your insight. There is a blessing tied to wealth given to the Lord. And that's the elephant. And what I mean by that is I want to teach you this morning as I get ready to close. I want to teach you a truth from the Word of God about money. But I realize when that word comes out of my mouth, it is being said in the worst possible place, a church. And it is being said by the worst possible person, the senior pastor. And I understand that. I get that. But here's the truth I want you to see in your outline. God says, if you do a certain thing with your money, he will bless you. And there is this huge barrier in people's lives. And I get, I understand that. About when you start talking about money. Why? Because people, the first thing they do, a woman grabs her purse or a guy reaches and protects his wallet because you feel like somebody's trying to get my money. You know, people just believe about churches. All a church does is, you know, they have these 10-week series called Tithe or Burn. You know, and they're just after my cash. And I realize, historically, the churches have a terrible record in financial integrity. And so I want to talk to you just a little bit. And I put in your outline first, second, and third. And I've left some blanks. And what I want to do, I want to talk to you about first, second, and third. And you just write down whatever sticks with you that is going to be kind of a take home for you. Okay? Deal? So here it is. First of all, I want you to understand, in talking about money, I want you to understand, I don't get, as senior pastor, I don't get a percentage of the offering. Doesn't matter what the offering is. I don't have access to any money reserves. I cannot write a check. I can't even get to the checks. I can't. I don't have a key. I don't have access to that. And even if I got a check, it wouldn't cash because my signature alone won't do it. Somebody else has to be in that. I don't have access to any cash funds at Harmony Hill Baptist Church. My salary is set by the pastoral ministry team. And the PMT members are voted on by you. None of the PMT members are related to anyone on staff. We periodically have a full-blown audit of our financial records here at the church. And historically, every full audit has given us a clean bill of health as a church. And I say all this because I just want you to know, we hate the same things that you hate. These horrible stories of leaders misusing funds that are given for the work of the Lord and seeking to get funds from people. So I just want you to know that first. All right, second, number two. When you hear me teach about money, I want you to understand I am not after it. I'm not. There is an assumption that when money is talked on, it's some veiled attempt from the pastor to get something from you. And I understand, so fences go up. You're like, you know, your defense goes up like that. Look at the truth in your outline. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. A huge part of your life and your heart revolves around money. Money affects us on so many levels. Would you agree with that? And I totally get that. I understand that. But the thing is, if I don't talk about money from a biblical perspective, if I don't bring to you the full counsel of God, everything that God talks about in the Word, I am practicing spiritual malpractice. I mean, I'm not being what I need to be. And I've got to answer to God for that. And if you set up a barrier from anyone like me talking about money. That's just not smart. And the reason is because you're shutting God out of one of the most strategic, life-changing, critical areas of your life. And that's your ability to make wealth and create wealth for your family and for the things of God in the world as a child of God. And then here's the third thing I want to share with you. And this is where I want you to write down and fill in some blanks. I want you to trust God in every area of your life, and that means your finances. I want you to trust Him with your finances. I want you, number one, and I want you to know His financial faithfulness, to know what it is like to invite God into your finances and to handle money the way God says for you to handle it. I want you to know that. I want you to have financial freedom that God's principles bring. I want you to be able to go where God wants you to go. Why? Because God's going to put us on assignment to go and share the gospel around the world. I want you to be able to go where God wants you to go. I want you to be able to do what God wants you to do. And I want you to be able to give what God wants you to give. Because if you are a servant of His, if you are in sync with Him, God will put financial blessings into your life so that you can give to what He wants to do on the earth. Why? Because we can only do on this earth with finances. And the Lord says, if I can trust you to do what I want done, if I give something to you, then I'll give it to you. If I know you won't get sticky fingers and you'll let it pass through you. And so God says, I want you to have that. I want you then next to experience financial security. The peace that comes from getting out of debt and doing life God's way. And then lastly, God wants you to experience financial contentment. That you are freed from this culture that we live in that says making more, going further, going quicker, and richer is everything. I want us as a family to break free from the sick trap that happiness is found in more and more and more and more. Because when you live that way, it's never enough. How much do I need? Just a little bit more than what I got. You know? Somebody said, how much money is enough? And the guy said, just a little bit more than what I got. It'll always be a little bit more than what I've got. We need to be free from that. And so I'm teaching on money today. And I'm not apologizing for it. And the reason is because I am excited about what God wants to do to bless us financially. And I want you to be excited about that. And when I talk about money, I don't want you going weird on me all of a sudden. And just like, you know, squinching up your face or whatever. Or somebody, you know, acting like they're going to the bathroom and they're going outside to get in their car. I want you to hear what God's word is about money from somebody like me in a place like this and be able to hear it. Because if you can't hear it, then we're stuck. And I don't want us to be stuck. All right, so, number four, and closing. What's the last thing? Tithing is God's pathway to change. I want you to see that. All right, here's the truth. Jesus was God the Father's tithe. And regarding tithing, people usually say, well, you want me, Pastor, you want me to give a tithe so that I can be blessed. What I need, and I need God to bless me, then I can give. Now, if you say that, what you're doing is you are convoluting God's principle of first things. God says in the Word, you give in order to get. You don't get in order to give. That's God's principle of the law of generosity. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. You see, that's what the Father says. He said, you give first where I say to give and I will bless you. You give in order to get. And that's why I say God gave Christ for you and me before we ever came to faith. It's like Christ was God's tithe. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. And the Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. So God gave before He ever got us. So here's the principle of first in your outline. The firstborn animal of men had to be given to God so that God's blessing of prosperity could be on the flock and the herd. God said, give me the first so that my blessing can be on the rest. Why? Because I'm God and I am preeminent. We meet on Sunday. Today is not the Sabbath. Yesterday was the Sabbath, right? It was the seventh day. We meet on the first day for two reasons. Number one is because it was the day that Christ rose from the grave. And if you go back and you look in the New Testament, every appearance of Christ between the time that he arose and the time that he ascended back to heaven, every time he appeared to the disciples was on Sunday. He rose on Sunday, and every time he appeared to them was on a Sunday. Christ honored the first day of the week. And we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. We give the first day to God so that the other 6 days will be blessed. Why? Because it's the principle of the Word. We give the first hour of our day to God in prayer and the Word so the other 23 are blessed. We give our first 10% of our income so the 90% is blessed. It's the principle of the Word. Principle number two in your outline, first fruits must be offered. So if I want to live under God's blessing, the first fruit of my income is given to him. Let me, Exodus 23:19. Listen. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. And what you notice is, it is the first of his, your first fruits. It is your first fruits that form the tithe that is blessed. Because the first is God's. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increases. Why? So that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine. Now, there's a passage related to this. Genesis 4:3-4. I worked at this for a while. And that is with Cain and Abel, the first two kids of Adam and Eve. And the Bible talks about a time when both of them brought an offering to the Lord. And God accepted Abel's, but he rejected Cain's. And I often thought he rejected Cain's because he didn't bring an animal. He didn't shed blood. He gave the fruit of the ground. But I don't think that's right. Because what I noticed is, Abel, the Bible says, brought of the firstlings of his flock. He gave the firstborn from his first female sheep, goat, whatever it was. He gave the first one. It says of Cain, Cain brought an offering from the ground. He didn't bring the first. He brought an offering. Cain ate his first ones, and he gave God the second. And God said, I don't want the second. I don't want the third. I am God. Everything you've got is because of me. And if you notice, when God put a curse on Cain, what did he curse? He said, the ground is cursed. What you work at is cursed. Why? Because you did not put me first in your life. And so Cain lost the blessing. So in the matter of the firstborn clean animal that was to be sacrificed, the one that could bring about blessing, God didn't say, wait until the 10th one is born and then give me the 10th one. God said, you give me the first lamb. You sacrifice to me the first fruit of your income, the hope of your future, because from your animals is where all your wealth comes. You give me the first one. The first one is mine, and I'll bless your future. I am deserving of the first. The first 10% of your income is not the 10% after the bills are paid. It is the first 10% before the bills are paid. God says, I want the first. I want the first. So here's the truth. God's promised blessing isn't on any offering that's not first fruit. Why? Because of his preeminence. It isn't just any 10. It is the first 10. So here's the thing. You make $1,000. You've got 10 $100 bills. Which one is the first fruit? The first one you spend. The first one you spend. That's the one that's the first fruit. And the Lord says, that's honorable to me. So here's the last truth. What releases the blessing is the order the first 10% has the blessing attached. And it is all about us honoring the Lord and showing him our trust is in him. Everything we have, Father, comes from you. So let me pray over you. as we get ready to leave this morning. Father, thank you this morning